The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
10 News Conference with Gene Valicente.
That shared story is why today I am proud to be the representative from Rhode Island's 1st Congressional District.
We're a great state. We're a great state. I know some of you pop over to Rhode Island. It's nice to visit. You can shop there. You can have a meal. You can go gamble, whatever.
But look at all the green arrows, Brian. This is success. This is real progress.
Holding the powerful accountable from Washington, D.C. to right here in southern New England. This is 10 News Conference with Gene Valicente.
And good morning, everybody. I'm Gene Valicente. As you can see, this is our Thanksgiving weekend reporter roundtable. Joining me at the table, Allison Bologna, Brian Crandall, and Liz Bateson. This is your first seat at the table, Liz.
I know. Oh, thanks for having me.
All right. It's a big deal.
This is
a big deal.
I'm honored.
It's the big table for Thanksgiving.
You're at the big table now.
Where's the food?
Right, there you go. Hey, we just set up some stories there. Gabe Amo, let's begin with him. Politics-wise, he's the name of the, could be the name of the year. Brian Crandall, you covered him on the night he won.
Yeah, and again, I don't think it was a big surprise that he won on election night in November. The story was back in September when he came out of that crowded primary. Yep. The district is, you know, definitely Democratic leaning, if not heavily Democratic. So again, not a surprise that he beat Republican Gary Leonard on election night. But it is quite a story for him to come out of that pack amongst some higher profile names in the Democratic Party and now quickly taking office just a few days after winning the election and, you know, having some important votes and some high profile issues, most namely the conflict in the Middle East.
Yeah, I never heard of him.
A lot of people didn't.
And people,
he was an insider, right?
Yeah, people in politics knew him. He had worked for Governor Raimondo between stints at the White House, first for President Obama, then for President Biden. And it still surprises me that message that he used in the primary worked. Like, I've worked for two presidents. I really didn't think that would resonate with Rhode Islanders.
I thought they wanted to hear what you're going to do for me. Yes, totally, especially with this economy. But at the end of the day, with all the drama around Sabina Matos, I think it was anything but, and people were willing to take a look. Listen, I live in Oak Hill in Pawtucket. It was quietly building about 3 months before the election, and then you heard about it down in the lower districts, too. So I think it was fast and kind of furious at the end in support for him.
After his story, Sabina is the other story.
Right, of course. I mean,
the flame out, it really imploded for her.
Right, and it left the door open. You know, that was the story of the summer, really.
Sure.
You know, starting in July and then going into August, and it pretty much appeared that she was pretty much done at that point. And then it was Aaron Regenberg.
It was her election to lose,
right, too. And then it was Aaron Regenberg. It seemed like it was his election to lose. But then we've discussed before, I think he was just, I think, too polarizing in the party. There were people who really liked him, but there was Democratic insiders who just didn't like him and had some really not nice things to say.
I think a lot of people see Amo as more of a moderate, which we're seeing less of these days.
Well,
so.
Listen, he's only been in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. We're taping on a Wednesday just before Thanksgiving. And already he's making the news, Liz. He took a vote. There was a resolution to defund college campuses that allow for anti-Semitism. He voted against that, raising some eyebrows on the East Side and elsewhere. He put a statement, I don't know if you read this on one of your newscasts, he put a statement out basically saying nothing, that he supports fighting, he's against anti-Semitism. He'd like to spend more money on that, but I don't know if you read the whole statement. There's nothing explaining why he voted against the resolution.
I think, you know, in that wing of the party, they'll probably argue that there's free speech and they don't want to take that away from college campuses, right? But then he walks that fine line, and I asked him on election night about it. You asked him during the debate about, is your support for Israel unequivocal, right? Or unqualified?
Unqualified.
And he said, yes, it is. And I asked him on election night, like, okay, you know, how many civilian deaths in Gaza are you willing to, you know, tolerate and where your support goes? So I think he's... Maybe, and I think some of the politicians are trying to walk that fine line, but if you have Jewish support, especially, in parts of the district, then you may rankle some of them with votes
like
that.
I think a lot of people want to know, too, if he's any action behind all the talk.
Yeah.
You know, he knows how to speak well publicly. The question is, what's the action behind it, and what's his record?
Yeah.
We don't really know yet.
Honeymoon period.
Right.
He gets a break like everybody else, but already the first news release a little weak. You didn't explain your vote. You explained that, well, we're all for oxygen. We're all for, you know.
Right, and that he would support funding to combat anti-Semitism.
Okay, we're going to go around the table and pick a story you want to talk about. Liz, what are you bringing to the table, as we say?
Oh, let's
earn
talk.
Earn your seat.
Let's talk Providence Schools. Yeah. Obviously, the state takeover is set to expire next year. Mm-hmm. Will that happen? Will that not? The RIDECAST scores were a big talker this year when they came out. Mm-hmm. They were touting this as a big improvement. But still, when you look at the scores, less than 30% of students in the state of Rhode Island are proficient in math, just about 33% proficient in English. And they're touting this as we're doing better than Massachusetts. The scores aren't better, but they're saying we're growing quicker than Massachusetts.
Well, that's they can only go up at this point.
And that's a hard comparison because Massachusetts is already 10 percentage points above us. Yeah. They're starting on higher ground. So how accurate of a comparison is that?
You really have to watch what the politicians say. Now, I understand Governor McKee sees it as a good story, and he is going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. However, the numbers are lower than pre-pandemic. The numbers are terrible in Providence.
Some of them didn't even register.
Didn't even register. They were an asterisk. Central Falls.
Yeah.
Pawtucket is nothing to brag about.
Right.
So, but on the, we don't want to, you know, listen, we can beat up everything. But on the other hand, he's saying, hey, we made progress. We're going in the right direction. And he still thinks, I believe it's by the year 2035, am I correct?
2030 is the goal, I believe, on the education to catch up to Massachusetts.
We will catch up to Massachusetts.
Do you buy that?
I wouldn't book that bet.
I mean, Massachusetts is a national leader.
It is. Maine. As well.
Yeah, and so you played that clip at the beginning where you heard the governor's voice. You didn't see him, and he said, look at all these green arrows. Yeah. That was an interview I did with him a couple weeks ago. We aired it where he was talking about attendance numbers, and that's his big push right now. He said he's got everybody talking about attendance. If you get the kids in school, you'll improve the scores. And that was like the Department of Education's attendance dashboard for all these schools in the state, and the green arrow showed that
charter schools were doing better than the straight up public schools.
Well, they are.
Yeah. But he claims that chronic absenteeism is down, and that's what that dashboard was, and that's a sign of success. And you know, his big thing is this out of school program, Learn 365.
Yeah. Which is funded for what, 1 year? And then the question is, how do you sustain it after that?
It's on the towns and cities.
Right. And that was the question that I brought to him, and he said that Johnston didn't do Learn 365. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who publicly said, no, we're not going to do this because you may give us some money off the start to begin these programs after school during the summer, but how are we going to keep it going after that? The governor says, well, the people who say that, they don't understand the program, that you don't have to commit money, but he didn't really answer, where's the money going to come from after? I think his plan is to try to get more money in the budget every year, but that remains to be seen. And I think these other towns are like, okay, if you want to give us some money, we'll take it.
He also has a little flap going on with the Policinas.
They don't get along.
They used to get along. Now they don't get along anymore. You've covered the schools for us.
I have.
This is your beat, so to speak.
Yes.
Yeah. Were you surprised that the numbers weren't what they were?
The RIDECAST scores?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's hard when you look at it. Less than 30% of students are proficient. I mean, that was eye-opening to me. You would think, not knowing going into it, you would think, you would hope at least like 80% of students.
Well,
are
it was bad before the pandemic.
Yeah,
it was worse after the pandemic. So before, after, and I think it's just going to be straight for a long period of time, right?
And yeah, where do we go from here? And even with the absenteeism, I know that's a big topic right now for Governor McKee. But I looked at the numbers just from the chart this morning that they have, and Hope High School, Central High School, still about 50% of students are on track to be chronically absent. So that's half of the students not showing up to school every day. How do we get these kids in school? If they're not in school, they're not learning, which is their whole thing.
And the Hopkins report was now, what, is it 4 years old now?
At least.
Right.
At least. That's the report that started the takeover with the
schools. Right. And then you have the takeover issue, and has that really helped?
Right.
It does not seem it has. And you know, one of the criticisms within the Providence School District in particular was they kept changing the program. They'd bring in new administrations from the outside, and everything would change, and there was no consistency. Mm-hmm. And so where
does
that leave you now?
And a lot of fighting between the commissioner and the union. That didn't help things out either. So.
Right. Well, you have to go to school to learn. So the governor is right. If there's no, if you're not there, you're not going to learn.
And now he's pinning his hopes, right? His Learn 365 program is out of school time. And so I asked, how do you expect that to, you know, it's giving money to communities to then partner with the Boys and Girls Club, which the governor has a close, he basically grew up in a Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah.
I did an interview leading up to the election last year, and we said, hey, pick where you want to do the interview, and it was a Boys and Girls Club that, you know, he has fond memories of. So the hope there is that you get kids involved in these fun things, educational things after school, and then they show up to school. And I talked to the head of the Boys and Girls Club in East Providence, where they started a program, and expanded a program as part of the funding of this. And they said, yes, we see results. The kids who come to these programs show up more in schools.
Okay.
So, well, they also choose to go to the club, so there's
right,
that buy-in
and that's
as
another
well.
Thing. How do you get, you have, I mean, you obviously have to get the parents on board, and how do you get the kids in these clubs if they're not, there are clubs that exist already, and if parents aren't taking advantage of that, right, you know.
Well, if you go into the news business, you must show up and attend. We start,
show
we start
up.
On
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Thank you for turning to 10, your news leader. 10 News Conference with Jean Valicenti continues right now.
Everything that we do in education builds.
Families are coming in through the federal system, and the federal government must step up to support them.
Lee Abort should be abolished. I realize that it's never going to be abolished, but it needs to be revised.
Boy, Governor Healey's got her hands full with the migrants.
She, sure
she went to court and said, I have to cap you at 7,500 families. I have no more room. Now they're scrambling to find room. This week, they put them on the second floor of the DOT building in conference rooms in
the
downtown
the
Boston. This sounds insane.
Mm-hmm. It's sad. It's dire. It's incredible that it's come to this. We had a story on this morning about North Attleboro, too, because they are trying to do some skill building for some migrants so they can get to work, which is kind of interesting right now, right? Because every business is saying that they don't have enough staff. So maybe there's a way to turn this into a positive. But, I mean, they're literally turning conference rooms into shelters
now,
at this point.
Let me just say, these migrants are here legally. Now, they crossed the border illegally, but they ran up to a border patrol and said, I seek asylum. Yes. That allows them to stay here pending court action to determine whether or not they can stay here. So technically, they're legal, Brian.
Right. And the thing is, though, they now have court dates in various places. And the story in North Attleboro was one that I put together. And, you know, I asked some of the officials there, all right, so you have these people staying in town. Where are their court dates? Are they all in Boston? And they're like, no, some of them have court dates in Miami. Some of them have court dates in Texas. Yeah. So
how's that work for the employer, too, by the way?
Right. So they have legal status. And you heard Governor Healey saying we need the feds to step up with help. Then you have municipalities saying we need the state to step up with help. And the town manager in North Attleboro basically said, we're not really providing any town resources to the migrants because there's no funding for it. So I'm not going to write up a bill and hope to be reimbursed for it later. So we're not busing anybody anywhere. Right. The National Guard is there to help. The kids are going to town schools. The schools are supposed to get reimbursed at a rate of more than $100
a day.
Right. And the big push that was part of my story is to get the migrants working papers, right? Because most of them don't. Mm-hmm. So we featured a company that has hired three of them that have working papers, so they're able to get a paycheck and earn some money. And I guess the goal would be to go out on your own and not live in one of these hotels that the state is paying for and contracted with. And the governor said, the governor's office last week did a, with the federal government, a workshop to try to cut through the red tape to get people working permits faster, because usually it takes, I think, 6 months. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get it down to a week. So they're stuck here with nothing to do in these hotel rooms.
Totally
the kids are going to school, but the parents have
and there's tons of complaints about the voucher programs and how the hotels are being or motels are being taken care of in the neighborhoods. It's a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, and New York. Mayor Adams is cutting his municipal budget. Police, fire, schools, sanitation, and others across the board to pay the bill to put the migrants up. Mm-hmm. The people in New York are losing their minds over this. Mm-hmm. I mean, same thing in Los Angeles and Chicago. You know, they just don't know what to do anymore.
Heated tents, right?
Yeah.
Right, and that's why the town manager in North Attleboro said we're not the state isn't funding us to have them here. It's they can fund that part of it. But you're right. If you're the city of New York and you have this right to shelter situation, somebody's got to foot the bill. And it is just a crazy situation. And maybe the you know if they can get people working faster, maybe that is the answer. But where do they go after that? Right?
I don't
are they
going
to be able to
thing.
Find
it's
housing?
Not full-term.
You did cover that story. There is a she was a Haitian migrant, I believe.
Correct?
Yes. And she's working at a factory in North Attleboro, and she's happy to be working, and she's here legally.
Yes.
So maybe she'll make enough to pay the rent to find an apartment.
That's the goal, right? But yeah. Again, how long
does it
isn't
take?
The hotel contract for like 9 years?
Yeah.
That the state has, they could keep renewing it for up to 9 years. It, you know, they're basically picking kind of the more Econo hotels in communities to contract them out for long periods of time. But yeah, how long is that sustainable?
Allison, you set the table. Next story.
All right, the next story. So Ask Allison, you all know about my series, yep. Ask Allison. Like you, tons of questions come in, obviously, about DOT. But it was interesting when Mayor Smiley's office kind of turned it around and asked me if I could do a story about him. So on the softer side of things, I think a lot of us didn't know the story about his own personal recovery.
I didn't know.
You didn't? Did you know?
No, I did not.
Yeah, no. Liz didn't know. I didn't know either, and I do a lot of work in that community.
Yeah.
But the long and the short of it is, it got a lot of traction, that story. We did it in two parts, and he came forward and talked about his own personal road to recovery. And then I asked him how he's going to apply that then to the drug problem that we see just getting worse and worse and worse in the city of Providence and elsewhere. So I'm doing a two-camera interview inside the mayor's office, and we're looking out over Kennedy Plaza. And I said, it must kind of break your heart, right, to look out and see that nothing is changing. And he says he's completely committed to getting fentanyl off the streets, but it's an uphill battle, for sure.
He comes on my radio show once a month. He does Ask the Mayor. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, he's very popular. Gets a
he's
lot
popular,
of calls.
He's popular, he's direct, he answers questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think this was a nice side to see of him in that he felt human, accessible, and he wants to do what he can, for sure, but he knows his limitations at the same time.
I think he's popular because as long as he stays to bread and butter issues, fill the potholes, pick up the garbage, basic stuff
clean
that people in Providence want. He's not talking about pie in the sky, social policies. That not, he's not doing any of that.
No.
And he's,
right. They say when you're mayor, you got to fill the potholes and collect the trash. Right?
He's available, too,
which is great from the media's perspective.
I marched in the Columbus Day Parade, and he was right behind me, and he was being cheered. And a lot of politicians aren't cheered in parades. Sometimes they take a beating. All right, one, two, three. Another story, Liz.
All right.
What have you been covering for us?
The legalization of marijuana.
Okay.
Obviously, this was off. This has the opportunity to be a big revenue source for the state.
Yep.
It was off to a slow start, but looking at how that's doing. But also, it brings up the issue. One of our reporters, Allegra, just did a story this morning about driving under the influence of marijuana, how our police department's handling this. And it's actually very interesting because the sobriety test, it's a lot lengthier than a sobriety test.
Yeah.
It's actually, I think they said it was a 12-step process to test if someone is driving under the influence of marijuana. They actually have to take them back to the police station, do some blood work. So it's interesting to see how police departments are gonna fund that and also how they're gonna handle that because it's not the same as a sobriety field test.
Well, there was a warning. Critics said, you can't test for marijuana just yet, but we passed the bill. We did a lot of things. We did put the cart before the horse with regard to getting
making
marijuana.
A lot of money.
Advertising and other things had to be fixed afterwards.
Right. And now the money, as Liz alluded to, is catching up to where the revenue for the state is catching up to where they thought it was going to be. It's holding steady just for the recreational sales around $7 million a month, which is where they thought it was going to be earlier on. It didn't go that fast. And again, we did stories that, you know, with the dispensaries and the cultivators, well, you didn't let us advertise, right? Massachusetts has all these billboards in Rhode Island. You drive down 95 and it's all for dispensaries right over the border. Let us advertise. Now they're able to advertise and it seems like they had a point. Now business is up and they're at that point. Now we have the Cannabis Commission that's up and running and they could approve up to 24 more recreation-only dispensaries. So it's interesting to see because, you know, some of the critics in Massachusetts say they flooded the market. There's too many dispensaries, and now they drove the prices down and some of them out of business.
And I have to tell you, the dealers, the street dealers are still out there. They have their customers. Some of them say, we'll beat the price, and you know me, so stick with me.
You're not paying taxes.
Yeah, you're not putting people out of business.
Yeah, but you really don't know what you're getting either, right?
Yeah,
that's true. The shops say, ours has been tested, you know what you're getting. Sometimes Providence dominates the news. This year, though, Pawtucket is right up there. And we have the person of the year from Pawtucket.
Oh, congratulations,
so
Allison.
We have to defer to you, Allison. But in Pawtucket, let's begin. I'll work my way backwards.
Where do you want to start?
Well, this week they said the tower, that famous tower over City Hall, needs $22 million worth of repairs.
Five times what voters approved.
The cost of everything's going up.
It's a lot. Mm-hmm. And the mayor came out in front of this. It has to do with like moving the employees out, bringing them back in. It's an Art Deco building. It's
falling.
It's pretty
tower,
famous,
it's
but it's falling apart.
They're worried
they have
the facade
no cell phones.
Is going to fall on people.
Yes, and they have no cell phone
and
service
water in, the basement.
In there as well, which
it's
is a problem.
It's the Tower of Terror. It's Pawtucket's
okay,
version of Tower
strong,
of Terror.
That's strong, but okay.
Well, I mean, you know, the notion is move them out, maybe build a whole new complex, let that thing
It can't be five down. Times the price. They can't absorb
well,
that.
Listen, I think in today's day and age, taxpayers want cost efficiency,
for
right?
Sure.
So do you sell it to a private investor? Maybe they turn it into one, a condo building or
housing.
Something like
well,
that?
Well, hold
or?
On. We have a guy up there who wants
we
to throw
do.
Some money at Pawtucket. Have you been following this? The Solovyev story? This guy wants
yes,
to buy McCoy.
Late, though. Yes. Don't you think he came in late?
Very late. Yeah.
Very
and
late.
On a lark. Apparently his kid likes to fly drones over old stadiums. He went back and said, Dad, look at this one. Well, what's that? Now, the guy does have money. He is legit.
Yeah.
I
he
checked
did show
him out.
Up. He talked to the mayor.
He says, I want to buy McCoy and I'll put a team in there. Of course, this all happens after McCoy had great plans to tear that thing down and build a high school.
Right.
I mean, the
Solovyev. So it's the ship sailed. Yeah, and it seems like the ship has sailed and they're moving on with the soccer stadium, right? Is that their stadium of dreams?
They desperately need a new high school. I was just in Tolman a week ago doing a talk. They desperately need to deal with Shea, deal with Tolman, and bring in a new modern school. I mean, we saw what happened with Winters Elementary. Hope it goes a little bit smoother than that. Mm-hmm. But they are desperate for new facilities for the school department. So that's the site. That's what they're planning on doing.
One more, also in Pawtucket, Patrolman Dolan, the embattled police officer, he was acquitted of that shooting in South County, got off the hook on that, but then got rearrested on his own personal charges, and now he's out completely. Yeah. And the mayor is happy about that.
The mayor from the start wanted him fired, and, you know, he came out. Again, he talked in that clip we played a few minutes ago about Leibor, the law enforcement officer's Bill of Rights, which has come under a lot of criticism in Rhode Island in recent years. Critics say it provides police officers too much protection and doesn't give police chiefs enough discretion. So some of the chiefs are for the reform too, because the chiefs can't suspend someone for more than 2 days without going through this hearing process, which again is a three-person panel, which has one person that the officer picks, one that the department picks, and one who's independent but is usually a police officer. And so they reached this resolution with Officer Dolan before they finished the hearing that he would step down and resign. They'll pay health insurance for his kids for
a
year. He's going to get paid out more than $20,000 for comp and vacation time, but it kind of wipes their hands. They said, we'd rather do that than spend tens of thousands on a legal process. But the thing with the greater picture with Leibor is it keeps not getting anywhere in the state house. There's reform, there's repeal, there seems to be some compromise, and it just
And we saw the loophole with the Daniel Dolan case, because they had, once he got acquitted of the charges, they had to give him $123,000 in back pay.
Because he was out of work, but they said you were entitled to get that pay, and you should have been.
All right, one more Pawtucket story.
Have we evened up? Hold on. We did two with you.
I was just going to say, Tidewater is moving forward.
Okay, that's the soccer stadium across
the way. I
walked
by it the other day. It is, like, under construction.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
Yes.
Yeah. Only because Pawtucket is borrowing another $50 million.
Well, that's the original amount, right? So they actually have now put that out to bond. Remember, they put the public financing part of it on pause in the spring, and that was like, uh-oh, now we're in trouble, and that's when the construction stopped. Now the construction picked back up. They put the bonds now out to market. And the developer has said now the cost has gone up again, but they're not going to ask for more money. We'll see. Remember, they already They already shifted some of the public plans funding.
Right,
they were
going to
do apartments. They were
going to
do housing. They said, oh, now it's too expensive. We're going to shift. And the governor, as the head of the Commerce Board, said, you got it right. If you're building Disney World, you got to build
that,
the castle.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. So build the stadium first, see what we can do later. So it's already.
They're going to play, though, next year at Bryant.
They're playing at Bryant. Yeah.
They've
moving
got
ahead.
Some players.
They're hiring players. And listen, let's wish them luck. Right. At this point, we're all in it together. This thing goes down. They're going to take us down.
They're banking partner.
They have a mascot. Centerville Bank, I think, is their banking partner. So
I saw the mascot. I don't know who sold them that thing. That's supposed to be a seal. I think it got out of a lab
or
something.
What do you think it looks like?
Chuck E. Cheese. But it doesn't look anything like a seal. Anybody see that? It's a little odd. All right, Liz, I'm going to ask you for one more story now, because you're on the streets every day. Homeless, any other topic you'd like to bring to the table?
Yeah. Do you want to talk about homeless? Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's been the topic all year long.
That's been a major issue, obviously, in Providence, but also Pawtucket, bringing it back to Pawtucket, and with everyone under the overpasses the past year. So I guess the real question is, how do you solve this, and what is a long-term solution?
Well, the governor's have they done better this year, right? It seems like they came out with a plan. Will that
They're buying property, housing.
Right, last year there was... Coming up in December, there was tents on the state house grounds. So did that push the issue and force it, right? They're in a deal to buy the old Charles Gate nursing home, right?
I could do this with our reporters. Yeah. They know the time cue.
They said they're going to have those little portable pallet homes, right? The and hundreds more shelter spaces. So is that going to get it
done? Mayor Smiley came out very strongly about that, too,
yeah,
when it came down to one individual, right? That was interesting.
Yeah, we're getting into the homeless hotel business. The governor is buying buildings, including Charles Gate, to reconfigure into private rooms and suites because we know the homeless don't want cots on a big floor. They just don't want it. All right, we got 30 seconds. What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for the coworkers that I have and working at a
easy
place.
Easy answer. Yeah, easy answer.
That was a good one. Are you going into politics?
Grateful for 20 seconds. Grateful for family.
20 seconds. Alice,
family.
Family. And how about you, Liz?
I would say family too, but also being able to work at my hometown news station.
Yeah, that's right.
East Greenwich.
East Greenwich. Yeah, right. Me and Eugene.
Well, I'm thankful for you. And you join us every Sunday on 10 News Conference. We'll see you again next week. Have a great rest of your weekend.